There are so many wonderful things that took place when you got saved, the day you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There's so many beautiful truths when you became a child of God. No one understands it all, but one of the beautiful things of the Christian life is studying what God did when He saved you. And nobody's going to understand it all, but it's just wonderful to look at that. You're there in Ephesians. We're going to come back to that text in chapter 5. Would you go to chapter 1 real quick? And I want you to see this. When you got saved, I don't know if you realize it or not, but all of God came inside of you. I don't know how that happened. Don't ask me to explain it. I just know what the Bible said. He that inhabits eternity in Isaiah, God says you cannot, the heavens cannot contain Him. God says He came inside you to live when you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Please save me. All of God came inside you. You say, are you sure? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Watch this. Look at verse number 12. That we, talking to saved people now, should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Then he's going to go, God's going to give us some more detail here. Look at verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Notice the colon there. So someone showed you the gospel. You heard the truth. Upon hearing it, you trusted the Lord. Now look at after the colon there. In whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the moment you said, Jesus, please save me, God Almighty came inside of you, the Holy Spirit came in, and it says sealed you, just like when my mom would, and grandma and my aunt, when they would, you ever see anybody can stuff, and they're listening for the, you know, the pop on the can, they're listening for the seal. God says, you are sealed if you're saved with the Holy Spirit until one day God's going to open the jar at the rapture. And it's going to pop, and then this old body is going to be left, and we'll get our new body. But we're sealed until we go to heaven one day. And so here, God says, when you got saved, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit came inside of you. I think a lot of Christians hurt when they don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within them. And this morning's message is going to be on the Holy Spirit, and tonight I'll give you part two of being filled. But watch this. If you're looking at a timeline and you're reading a book, and we're going to start over here and we're going to go over that way, when Jesus came in Bethlehem, He was coming to us. God came to us and put on flesh like we put on clothing, and He was born of a virgin. God came to us. Then at Calvary, the Lord Jesus was dying for us. He came to us. He died on Calvary for us. And then on the day of Pentecost, He empowered us. He empowered us. They said, what's one of the biggest tragedies in the world? They said the fact that a Christian could have the Lord living inside them and then they live without God. They could ask God's help. They could get God's help. But instead, they live their life by themselves. And yet they have the Lord living inside of them. Before Jesus was crucified, He taught His disciples. I'm going to read this verse. I'd like you to go to John chapter 20, verse 21. But I'm going to read John 14. Would you take your Bible and go to John chapter 20, verse number 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Stay there and just listen to me for a second. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said this. And I will pray the Father, and you're going to John 20, 21. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, only a saved person can get the Holy Spirit, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, listen closely, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the night of the betrayal. This is Tuesday night. Jesus is crucified on a Wednesday. And on Tuesday night at the Last Supper with His disciples, Jesus said, right now the Holy Spirit is with you, but as soon as I die and raise again from the dead, He shall be in you. He'll dwell in you.
That had not happened in the Old Testament. In 4,000 years of history, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson and then leave, and then come upon him and leave, and come upon him and leave. And it says that of the prophets, that the Spirit of God in the Old Testament would come upon them and then leave. And Jesus said in John 14, He said, right now the Holy Spirit is with you, but as soon as I rise from the dead, He's going to be in you. You say, when did that take place? You're in John 14, turn over 6 chapters, look at this. I'm just laying a foundation this morning for this. Watch this, John chapter 20, verse number 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22 is so important. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So Jesus appears, there is when they got the Holy Spirit. I know what your Scofield Bible says. Your Scofield Bible says that the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost. Mr. Scofield was a Plymouth Rock Brethren. He's in heaven now. He knows he's wrong. Okay? He made a mistake. Oops. That's man's notes, not God's. Okay? I will say this. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what that word receive means? He gave it, but just like the Supreme Court receives a case, it's the same word. They have a whole bunch of cases to choose from, but they'll receive or accept this case. You know what God's telling the Christian? You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now receive Him. Accept Him. Let Him help you. You don't have to face today alone. You don't have to go to work alone tomorrow. I'm talking to the saved now. I'm talking if you're a child of God. If you've been saved, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. I love the title I read to you earlier, Comforter. 4 times the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. That means a Christian has comfort that's available only to them, that only God can give. Amen. That's why Jesus said here, He said, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. You get Him whether when you get saved, whether you want Him or not. Now, as a Christian, you need to receive Him or accept Him. When was the last time you asked the Lord to help you, since He's always with you? God wants to help you be a better wife. God wants to help you be a better husband. God wants to help you be a better parent. God wants to help you at your job. God wants to help you, but He doesn't make Him help you. You have to receive Him or accept His help. Beautiful scripture. If I stop with a sentence here, watch this. Verse 23, Jesus is going to finish this sentence, and watch this. Right after He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, He says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Isn't that amazing? The moment Jesus gives the Holy Spirit and says, accept Him, the first truth He teaches us is on forgiveness. Whosoever sins, you retain or bind to yourself, He said, they're bound. Whosoever sins, you remit. The word remit means to release. Let go. That's forgiveness. You ever heard somebody say, look, you need to let it go. It's another word for forgiveness. You need to forgive it. You need to drop it. A person that's lost struggles with forgiveness. A child of God, if they will yield to the Holy Spirit, you don't have to get bitter. There is forgiveness that's available. I've known Christians to get bitter and get destroyed because they did not receive the help that was available in them. So then they get angry after they get hurt, and then they lash back out at people. And the worst part about lashing out at people is this. When you start lashing out at people like this, you finally come to the conclusion that God allowed it. You understand? And you quit doing this, and you start doing this. Because logic says God's in control of it, right? And then you get bitter, you lash out at people, but you eventually lash out at God. That's dangerous. A Christian doesn't have to live that way. Whosoever sins ye remit or let loose, they are let loose or forgiven or remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Very neat. This is not the sermon this morning, but look up the word retain. It means to bind upon. When you choose not to forgive someone, Christian, you take their wrong that they did to you and you bind it to yourself. That's what it says. And then you carry this burden around because you haven't let it go. And they owe you. And you're going to make sure they pay for this. And that's not your job. Be careful. This is a beautiful truth. There's a lot to it. I'm not preaching on forgiveness this morning. I just wanted to bring that out to you. Watch this. So, after the resurrection, Jesus said, receive or accept the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is a person and can be hurt by your words and actions. Look, the Holy Ghost is not a blob or an ethereal floating cloud. If it's a blob, you don't yield to a blob. You don't care what you say to a mass. But if He is a person that can be offended and hurt, then you're careful with what comes out of your mouth. You're careful with how you treat Him if He's a person. And I find that and over again in the Scripture. You say, how can we mistreat the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Now, this is only for a lost person. Only a lost person can resist the Holy Ghost, because Jesus is talking here through, as far as in the preaching of Stephen, and he comes to the end of his sermon. This is Acts chapter 7. Right before he's stoned, right before they stone him, this is what Stephen says to the Jews, and these are lost people that are on their way to hell. Look what he says. Watch this. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Only a lost person can resist the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, I don't know if you're saved or not. The only person I know who's saved is me. Amen? Okay? And the only person who you know is saved, if you're saved, is you. Okay? I don't look at other people and go, well, if they were saved, they wouldn't do that. I think there are some traits of a Christian, but I also know this. We'll get into quenching and grieving here in just a second. If you're lost this morning, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you're damned, you need to get saved, you're lost, you're on your way to hell, you can only resist Him so much. You can't keep fighting against God. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But a lost person going, no, my good works are enough. I've been to church my whole life. I've been baptized. I've helped other people. I'm a good person. I haven't killed nobody. That's resisting the Holy Ghost. God's dealing with you about salvation, and you're resisting Him. That only a lost person can resist Him. A child of God cannot resist the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. You say, well, how can we mistreat the Holy Spirit? You're in Acts. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over a couple of books there, about six or seven books, and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. So I told you this morning, the Holy Ghost of God was given to you when you got saved. Now, the success of your Christian life is based on, do you accept His help? Have you received Him? He lives inside of you. But that doesn't mean He helps you. He helps you if you let Him help you. You understand? And then I said, a lost person can resist the Holy Ghost. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse number 17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ought to put a little mark under verse 19, because that's the middle verse there. You got three verses on top of it and three verses below it. Let's look at the three verses below it. Despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Watch this. Quench not the Spirit. You have three verses. verses on top, three below. If you don't want to quench the Holy Spirit, then obey the top three and the lower three verses. If you don't, then you quench. What does quench mean? Quench is when you take and put water on the fire. It's my favorite part of camping out. Okay? I don't know why I like it so much, but I love putting out the fire. Okay? It's just, I love hearing. That's fine until you get saved. Amen? When we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, anytime God's trying to help you by helping you rejoice and you don't. Verse number 17. By helping you pray and you don't. By helping you give thanks and you don't. Verse 20. By helping you enjoy preaching and you don't. By verse 21, proving all things according to the Bible and you don't care. Or verse 22, abstaining from all appearance of evil. When the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to live a good life and help you and you go, I don't want your help. That's quenching. It doesn't mean He leaves. Aren't you glad? But when He's trying to what? You know, they friction fire and then you're trying to get the fire going and you see the smoke. What would it be like if somebody came by? When the Holy Spirit is trying to burn in your heart and get and help you get on fire for God and help push you and you instead, I'll run my own life, thank you. That's quenching Him. That's quenching Him. Quench not the Spirit. There's one more thing that you can do to the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Are you ready? Take your Bible and let's look at, we've looked at resisting, that's for a lost person. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at quenching the Holy Spirit. That's when He tries to get you to do good and then we throw water on that Him trying to light a fire in our heart. That's quenching. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Watch this. It's very important that you as a child of God understand this. Let no, Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Watch this. So we found out resisting is something that only a lost person can do. We found out quenching is when the Holy Spirit's going, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And you do it myself. And I don't want to do that right now. But then the Holy Spirit also here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Anytime the Holy Spirit is trying to say, quenching is when He's trying to encourage you to do right. Grieving is when He's trying to pull you back. No, 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 don't talk that way. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch what you talk about. Don't talk about things like that. And you feel it in your heart, but you do it anyways. That's grieving Him. The next verse says, let all anger and wrath and clamor, let when He's trying to say, no, 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 don't lose your temper. No, 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 don't act that way. No, 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 don't be out to hurt you. And when He's trying to pull you back, and you, the word grieve, if you look it up, it means to burden with harm and hurt. Did you know you can do that to the Lord that lives inside of you? When He's trying to push you to do right, you can throw fire on it. That's quenching. And when He's trying to pull you back, don't live that way. Come, and you feel the conviction and you... That's grieving Him. You know what grieving is? We talk about grieving when someone loses a loved one. And they're sad and brokenhearted. Did you know that God can be sad and brokenhearted with us and our actions toward Him after we get saved? I didn't know I could break God's heart. I didn't know I could grieve Him and cause Him to be sad. But He gave me His emotions. He gave you His emotions. You're made in the image of God. God gets happy. God sings. God has joy. God has sadness. God has, we're emotional because the God that made us is emotional. Amen? Now, He's in control. Do you understand the difference? Quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit that has sealed you. The Holy Spirit determines whether you minister and help others and serve or whether you perform and entertain. Being filled is not spooky or weird. Let's go back to our text. You're in Ephesians 4. Go over to Ephesians 5. This is where we started. Ephesians chapter 5. Watch this. Now verse 18 is what I want to get you thinking about, and I'm watching the clock. So help me out here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Watch this, Christian. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So God's illustration of a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit is drunkenness. But God says, don't drink. Somebody says, well, be not drunk with wine. Well, I'm not a drunk when I drink. You're as much of a drunk as you drank. You say, well, I only drink a little. Well, then you're a little drunk. You need to think about that, amen? There is no approval of drinking in the Bible. None. There is none. Not social drinking. God condemns it all. The only time it's acceptable is when they use alcohol as a base to keep herbs from spoiling. Okay? That's the only time it's justified. They also, in Proverbs, you say, oh, I read where God says, give it to it. Yeah, in Proverbs 30, it's going to say that. They used to give it to prisoners who were getting ready to die. When they were dying a painful death. Why? Because of the numbing effects of the alcohol. They used it as a drug. They offered it to Jesus on the cross. Remember? They put a sponge with hyssop in it and the bitterness and the bitter vinegar. It was to numb His body. And then He said He wouldn't take it. Remember? I don't know if you remember the things on the cross. But liquor is never condoned for a Christian. Not beer, none of it. Alcohol is sinful in the Bible. Well, here, God's illustration of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I love this, is God says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're both similar. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being drunk are similar because they both control you. I remember dealing with children in our junior church, and I remember one kid saying, you know, my mom beats me, you know, with an electric cord. And this was about 15 years ago. And I said, I'm so sorry, buddy. And he said, it's not my mom, though. It's the alcohol she drinks. You ever heard somebody say that? That's not them talking. That's the liquor. Okay? And they'll say, and so they'll, well, both are controlling. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, like a drunk person, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed that when someone is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, or if they're under the influence of alcohol, both are controlling, a continual thirst is necessary for both. A drunk thirsts after liquor? What's a Christian that's filled after the Holy Ghost? I want God. I want Him. I need Him. God, I'm thirsty for You. Lord, I need You more than I need anything. I need You. God, I'm thirsty. For what? God says in Isaiah, I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty and My Spirit upon him. God says a Christian should not be drunk with wine and controlled by a foreign substance, but a Christian should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed someone who's drunk? They're usually more bold. They're usually more bold. So is a Christian that's filled with the Holy Spirit. They quit caring what other people think about them. You know, somebody that's drunk, you know, they'll think, you know, I can take on all those people. I don't care about the... And they act stupid. And we've seen them act foolishly. Did you know a Christian that's filled with the Holy Spirit has boldness, and then they just don't care what other people think. They care what God thinks. I'm not living to make You happy. I'm trying to live to make the Lord happy. Have you ever noticed somebody that's filled with liquor and drunk? Have you ever noticed how more friendly they are? Same thing's true with a Christian that's Spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're more friendly. They're not as... I like when we got on the airplane. When I got on the airplane, the pilot said, "Well, we're going to be on here for the next hour and a half. It's okay to look people in the eye." Because when people are coming on the airplane, they're like doing everything but looking at people. And everybody kind of giggled. But that's part of friendship is, I don't mind, I'll take time for you. Amen? Have you ever noticed someone who's filled with liquor? The similarities of being a drunk and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed someone that's drunk? I just made a list of these. They're more giving. Oh yeah, here, go ahead and take it. Did you know that a Christian that's filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Lord that's in them is more giving, they're more friendly, they're more talkative, they witness, they don't care what other people say? I'm taking two things. I'm taking a drunk man and I'm taking a Spirit-filled Christian. Just one more. Did you know that liquor will affect one's walk? You ever seen them stagger? You ever watch a Christian walk that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Their life is different. It affects their walk. Amen? It affects their walk. God is not saying, be drunk. He's saying, don't drink, but just like alcohol controls a drunk, the Holy Ghost of God ought to control a Christian if he lives in you. And the only reason he isn't is because you've either quenched him or grieved him, or, like we talked about, you have not accepted him. He lives inside of you. But how much of you does he have to do with? How much does he guide you? How to know if you're filled? How to know if you're filled? I'm going to show you three things here. Ready? Go ahead and go to Luke chapter 11. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. Okay, Pastor, I understand. We're not supposed to drink. God condemns liquor. It's bad, but God says like alcohol controls a drunk, the Spirit of God is supposed to control a Christian. Then how do I know if I'm filled? Well, first of all, watch this. Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that, what? Ask. Ask. You say, what's it take to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one, I find in the Bible, you got to ask. When was the last time you asked God, God, please, fill me with your Holy Spirit and control me and help me, Lord, with what I say and help me today at my job and help me in my family and help me as I rear my kids. Fill me, God, please, I want you. When was the last time you asked Him? Because until you ask, it's not... You don't get up one morning and nobody's accidentally filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Amen. Just like getting saved is a choice, getting filled with the Holy Spirit is a choice and it's a question. You didn't get up and all of a sudden kind of, oh wow, I feel filled. It's going to be a great day. Wow, that doesn't happen that way. God says, ask Him. Ask. And I'm going to make a bold statement here based on the Bible. If you haven't asked, you're not filled. When was the last time you asked the Lord, please fill me and control me? You ask. First of all, how do you know that you're filled? Well, you ask. There was a 6-year-old boy, listen to me with this illustration real quick, because I think this illustrates it so wonderfully. 6-year-old boy comes up to his dad, "Dad, I want to help you mow the yard," and the dad is trimming the hedges first, you know, he's going to trim the hedges. "Son, not now, you're 6 years old, it's going to cut you, and son, move back, I can't, Dad, I want to help you, I want to help you do that, son, move back." And so he's hedging out his, he's working the hedge and making it square, and the son's watching him, and then the dad gets out the edger for the sidewalk, and that knife starts spinning, and the little boy comes up, "Dad, can I help you edge?" "Son, it's a spinning knife. No, you cannot operate this. You're too young. Move back." And he edges the sidewalk there. Then the dad gets out the mower. The little boy comes up, 6-year-old, and he says, "Dad, can I help you mow? I want to mow like Daddy. I want to..." "Son, I can't do this. This could cut your foot off. Do you understand? If you fall or something, I can't back up. This is too dangerous." Little boy stood on the side. Dad felt sorry while he's mowing. He goes up to his son and he said, "Son, I'll let you blow the grass off the driveway. Go to the front." The dad was thinking in his head, the blower to the grass is up front. He put it on the porch, you know. He was getting ready to plug it in. He said it was up there. The dad had the tools. "Son, I'll let you blow the grass off the driveway." Okay. So dad keeps mowing. He finishes. He's putting it up and he hasn't heard the blower start up yet. He said, "That's kind of funny. What's he doing up there?" He goes up front, and the little boy on the edge of the sidewalk is doing this. What the dad said? "Son, there's an easier way. I've got a special tool for that." Did you know there's a lot of Christians like that? They're faithful, but they don't use God's power. They use their own power. And they could do a lot more and enjoy the Christian life a lot more, but you do enough and you get dizzy. Same thing with Christians that don't enjoy. God has the Holy Ghost living inside of you, and you don't have to do it by yourself. There is a God's power. "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." You don't have to go soul winning by yourself. You don't have to live the Christian life by yourself. You don't have to read your Bible by yourself. You don't have to do anything by yourself if you're saved. You've got God living inside of you. And God says, "I want to help you, but I don't make me help you. You have to ask. You have to ask." The Holy Spirit glorifies and exalts Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the lost, and the Holy Spirit conforms the saved to the image of Christ. Being Spirit-filled is you say, "How do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit?" Well, if I take a glove here, okay, and let me see here. Caleb, come on up here. I'm using him because he's on the front row. Take this glove, and it's a right-handed glove. Go ahead and put that glove on. The word consecrate means to fill the hand. If you're a consecrated Christian, you have let God fill. Go ahead and put the glove on. Can you put it on? So you can't fill the glove. You know how come a lot of Christians can't be filled with God? Because they got other things they're filled with. And they've got their own thing. Look, there's only so much of you. God doesn't make more of you so He can fill it. He says, "If you want me to fill it, you got to dump out the trash." I'll pick it up. That's going to clog the vacuum cleaner. Don't worry, other things do. The word consecrate, if you're consecrated, that means you have let. Go ahead and put that glove on. It fits. Oops, more trash. God can only fill you if you're empty. Do you understand? Well, I just don't get this living. Thank you very much. Thank you. I just don't get this being a Spirit-filled Christian. You got too much of you going on. Have you ever said, God, not my will, but thine, Lord, please fill me. I empty myself of self. I want to be a consecrated Christian. I want to be yielded to you. But I've been running the show. You could call it surrender if you want. You could call it, I call it getting rid of the junk. I call it getting rid of the junk. It's absolutely amazing. I know we're done past with it, but it's absolutely amazing to me how many Christians miss church over the Super Bowl. In a day and age where you can record the stupid thing, and I mean without commercials. I'm absolutely amazed. Well, I don't go to church on Sunday night because Super Bowl, especially Super Bowl night. Well, record the thing, and then you could like play around the clock, you know? I mean, but that's the day and age we live in. People are sports crazed. They're entertainment crazed. Please be careful. How do you know if you're Spirit-filled? Would you take your Bible, two more things, and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, John 16. John 16. John 16. John 16, verse 7. Christian, child of God, you have God living inside of you. How much of your life does He have to do with? Who calls the shots? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16, look at verse number 7. I'll focus on verse 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Look at verse 8. And when He, the Comforter, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove is the same word we use for if you reprove something, you are verifying the case and you're saying that's a violation of Scripture. Basically, it's conviction. He said He will convict the world. The Holy Spirit convicts a lost person. You're lost. You need to get saved. The Holy Spirit convicts a Christian. Don't live that way. Live this way. Start doing this. And the Holy Spirit convicts. You can always tell. Look, it would really help in this day and age of self-esteem and self-improvement and self and living for self and it's all about me. It would really help if a Christian understood. When you come to church, you don't have to, my goodness, I don't want to see you come in the church depressed, but every once in a while, something's going to be preached that's going to ring your bell. That's not a time to leave. If the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with you as a Christian, you mean He's convicting you about something? You mean He's moving in your heart? That's one way you know you're saved. He's dealing with you. And it may not even be on what the sermon's about. God's dealing with you individually as His child, saying, I want to grow you. I'm moving you closer to me. But in this day and age, I went to church and I got convicted. Oh my goodness. I need to find a different church to go to. Where I'm not so convicted. Well, I hope I'm moved. I enjoy preaching that moves me. You understand? I enjoy God dealing with me and calling me closer. Look, you can always tell when the Holy Spirit's convicting you. You say, what's the difference between conviction of sin and depression? The devil plays mind games with you and gets you thinking this way. This undefinite spirit of depression. You're not supposed to walk around as a Christian.
I'm just a loser. That's all I'll ever be. I'm just a sinner, loser, hell deserved.
God doesn't want you walking around depressed. Right. What are you depressed about?
I don't know. I'm just awful.
You want to know the difference between depression and conviction of the Holy Spirit? Every time the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's always specific. It's just like when you're playing basketball and you're on the court and all of a sudden, the ref blows the whistle. He calls the team, the number, the jersey, and the foul. What would you think? You can tell when the devil's playing mind games with you. Because what would you think of a ref on the basketball court? And then he doesn't say anything. So everybody stops. What's the foul? He goes, I'm not going to tell you. It was at that end of the court, but I'm not going to tell you who did it.
Well, what'd you blow the whistle for?
I just want to blow the whistle. Who did it? I'm not telling you. Did you know, child of God, Christian, when God convicts you, it's specific. You never have God saying, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. God deals with you in your heart, privately and specifically, and you know what the Lord's touching your heart about. One more thing. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe there is conviction of sin, but it's specific. It's not depression. It's not a Christian that's walking around depressed. Finally, if you're filled with God has access. God has access. And we're getting a little short on time, so I'm just going to give you an illustration here. God has access. Let's say I invite Brother Wally over at my house, okay? And Brother Wally comes up and he knocks on the door. I say, how you doing, Wally? I said, good to see you. You know, I don't know, I want you all in my house. Maybe, can you like halfway come in my house? He would look at me and he'd go, that's stupid. What are you going to clean me right down the middle and leave this half outside? And no, if I'm going to come in, all of me comes in. Hey, that's common. Oh, okay. Well, you can come in, Wally, and you can sit here on the couch in my living room. So he comes in and he sits down. And my wife calls me. And when I get up and I leave the room, Wally gets up and he goes into my kitchen, opens up the refrigerator and gets out one of my ginger ales. Man, he's just making himself a... He's in my ginger ale. Then he notices that my wife calls me outside to, honey, you can go back inside in just a second. I really need you to look at this flower bed. So I go outside and then Wally, sipping on my ginger ale, goes into the bedroom and opens up the closet and, you know, starts looking through. He's not done that. This is an illustration. Okay, this is... How could he? This is an illustration. And so he does that, and then he goes over to my dresser drawer, opens it up. He's kind of going through the drawers there. I come back in the house, and there's Wally sitting there sipping on my ginger ale. I go, where'd you get that? He goes, well, it was in the kitchen. It was in the refrigerator. Then I say, you could have a ginger ale? That's my ginger ale. Then I go in and I see from the hallway there, my dresser drawers are open. Wally, were you in my dresser? Well, yeah, I thought I'd just go in there and look around. Look, when I invite you in the house, I want you to stay in this living room and sit right there on the couch. I don't want you to go anywhere else. You say, that's a little cruel. Did you know a lot of Christians are like that? It was hard for them, first of all, well, I don't know if I want all of God inside. All right, I'll accept Jesus as my Savior. But Holy Spirit, you sit right there on that couch. You don't go in the kitchen. You don't go in my bedroom. You don't go in that room over there. You sit right there. And if I want you involved in any more part of my life, I'll let you know. There's a lot of Christians that live that way. Do not change my life. Don't change my priorities. Don't change my thinking. You sit right there. Did you know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you don't put boundaries on God? He can have all of me. I'm a yielded vessel. And I don't want to ever tell Him no. God, if there's something in my bedroom, Lord, help me. I'll change it. Lord, if there's something in my fridge, if there's something in my kitchen, Lord, you got access to all of me. Christian, let me just ask a question this morning. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not spooky. You don't walk around glowing or anything. You are yielded. How do you know scripturally? Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning.